man. And the subject this morning, and it's coming from the scripture that I read this morning. But the title of our subject this morning is Bring What's In You to the Table. Bring what's in you to the table. I want you to kind of imagine that in the body of Christ, since we are all a family in the body of Christ, let's pretend we're having a party or a dinner for the family. All the body's coming. Everybody's coming. Everybody in the body of Christ is coming to this dinner that we're preparing. And everybody has to bring a dish. Everybody has to bring something to the table. Everybody has to prepare something, some special dish, and bring it to the table. And not only have we invited all of the family in the body of Christ, let's say we decided to invite our neighbors, and all the people in the world are our neighbors. So we decide to invite our neighbors to this dinner party, and they're coming. Everyone has to bring a special dish in them that Christ has prepared. This special dish is only found in the ingredients in you and Christ. You see, Donnie, I can't bring to the table what you have to bring to the table. You can't bring what I have to bring to the table. Texan has to bring what's in him to the table. Eve has to bring what's in her to the table. Kay has to bring what's in her to the table. And Dawn has to bring what's in her to the table. There's no substitution now. Everybody has to bring their own special dish to the table. So bring what's in you to the table. There's a portion of scripture that I read. I'm going to go through all of Ephesians 4, 6. But I want to read the main scripture that the lesson is going to come from, so y'all will know what I'm talking about. And that's going to be Ephesians 4, 16. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 16. Let's do 15 and 16. And Ephesians says, speaking the truth in love, growing up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And then from Christ, from whom the Bible says, and it's talking about Christ, from whom the whole body, that's all of us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Remember, you bring it to the table. What's Christ in you? Okay, that's what you're bringing. That's your share. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Causes growth of the body. The body cannot grow. The whole body, we can grow individually, but the whole body of Christ cannot grow unless everyone in the body, because we're all knit together, every person has to bring their share, have to bring Christ in them to the table so that the rest of the body can be edified in love and grow. Now, I think you might think you don't have much to bring to the table. You might think, well, I don't have anything. I mean, I don't have no gift. I don't have no talent. I don't have anything to bring to the table. What do I have to bring to the body? What can the body benefit from what's in me? But I want you to know that every person born in this earth was born with a talent. I'm not even talking about being born again now. I'm not even talking about knowing Christ. Every person born was born with a talent, something in them that they were good at. They might didn't know what it was. They might did not know how to develop it. But everybody has something in them to contribute, something good in them, some talent, something they can do that would be a blessing to the world. Some people discover their talents. Some people discover what's in them. They discover what they're good at. But some people die and never discover their potential. They never discover what Christ has put in them. They never discover what they were born with that could be a blessing to humanity and to the world, or to just to your family, or just to you. Think about how the world would be different had Edison not discovered the light bulb, electricity, all that stuff that was discovered because somebody knew something was in them that they wanted to give, and they wanted to keep at it until it benefited the world. So everybody has something. You have something in you. And if you're born again, God has given you at least one grace gift. Ephesians tells us that. Let's look at Ephesians 4:6. Ephesians 4:6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So everybody in the body of Christ has a grace gift from Christ. It's through Christ being in us that we have a grace gift. And I looked up that word gift, and it means in Greek it's doria, a gratuity gift, a free gift. Now, gratuity is what we give when you go out to eat to a restaurant and you leave a tip. That's what that is. You know, they might give you bad service, they might give you good service, but out of the goodness of your heart, you leave a tip. Well, we don't have to serve God in order to get grace from him. God's grace came free. We it doesn't matter what we did in the past or none of that. God's grace was freely given to us. And with that grace came a grace gift. We didn't ask for it. We didn't decide what gift we was going to get. He decided what gift we were going to get. But God has given us grace to do something. You have grace to do something in the body of Christ that God has put in you to do. Whether you want to do it or not. Whether you do it or not. You know. It's in you. It's in you. And whatever you might do, like Don, I think Don, y'all refinish furniture, don't you? And that's grace from God to do that. Sometimes when we, before we get born again, we want to do something. It might be something we can't do. Didn't even know we had talent to do it. Then you get born again, and all of a sudden, grace comes in, and you're doing stuff you thought you'd never do. You have the ability to do something you thought you never could do because of the grace of God. Before I got born again, standing up here before y'all and giving you the word is something I would never do. I was shy. I didn't want to stand before people. I didn't want to be noticed. I just wanted to fade in the background. I wanted to be like Kay sitting back there like that. I didn't want to be up here. That was not me in the natural. But the grace of God comes in and gives you a gift and allows you to do stuff, things you thought you never would do. And sometimes the grace of God gives you the ability to do things you thought you never, I never even thought of doing this probably when I was growing up as a child. When I was growing up, and somebody asked what you want to do when you grow up, it sure wasn't be a preacher. I didn't know no preachers. I didn't know nobody in ministry at that time. So, you know, grace, the grace God gives us that ability to do things that we never thought we might would do, never even thought of doing. But the grace of God comes in and gives us the ability to do that. So everybody has a grace gift. So don't say there ain't nothing in you, that God ain't put nothing in you, nothing in you to give out. There is, trust me. There's something in you. And I'm going to give you this little test to take if you don't believe me. When you go home or right now, whenever you want to do it, ask Holy Spirit or ask God, you know, what have you given me? What gift have you put in me? Show me that gift, Lord. bring that gift out of me, stir that gift up in me. Sometimes we let our gifts and we let them get dormant. We don't stir them up. So ask Holy Spirit, show me what gift I have from you. Stir up that gift in me. I know you have given me a grace gift because the word of God says so. I'm your child. So Holy Spirit, reveal that gift to me and stir it up in me, and God will do it. For the Lord God is one, we're still in Ephesians, and so are we. But we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. So we're one. In the body of Christ, we're one. We share one Father, we share one faith, we share one baptism. So now, I'm going back to this now. You can't tell me, since we share all that, we also share the fact that we have grace. So if God gave a gift, a grace gift to one person in the body, he gave it to you. He has no respect of person. He is not a God that shows favor. He's not a God that slights one to show favoritism that way. You know, he's not like that. Some of us might have more favor than others. That's all because we have, you know, praise and we walk in that favor. But God does not slight anybody in the body of Christ. Everybody has a gift. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. And he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. So God has given us all a gift by grace, and it's supernatural. And the good thing about God, he doesn't give us nothing that's out of character for us, or something that will harm us, or let me put it this way. God gives us stuff that he knows that with him, we'd be good at doing. That's just a quick way to put it. God gives us gifts, grace gifts, to do that he know with him, we can do it. God ain't never called anybody to do something they couldn't do. He never gave us a task to do. He wasn't there with us to do it. So I want you to get to the place where you're willing to bring what's in you to the table, that you're bold enough to bring what's in you to the table. When I say to the table, you're willing to bring what's in you to the body of Christ. You're willing to bring what's in you to the body of Christ. Now, the rest of Ephesians say that Jesus descended. He ascended. He came down here first. Then he descended to hell. Then he ascended back up and went to heaven. But the Bible says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Okay, Holy Spirit gifts are the grace gifts. I'm not going to go into the fivefold ministry gift. I'm just going to talk a little bit about that. So God gave gifts, but actually he gave men as grace gifts to the body of Christ. So God gave all of us in the body gifts so that we could edify the body, build the body up. But he also gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does that mean? It means that the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Okay, my gift to you here is pastor, teacher. And my job is to make you fully ready for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Didn't know you had a ministry, did you? Everybody has a ministry in the body of Christ. Every believer has a ministry. Every person has a ministry in the body of Christ. And my job is to make you fully ready for that ministry and to edify and build you up so that you can go out and do and give what's in you to the table, to the believers, to the world. So the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, is to nurture and prepare all the believers to do their own work of ministry. As they do, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. That's my job, to to fully get you ready so that you can go about doing the work of the ministry that God has called you to. And everybody's ministry is not being a pastor or a teacher, you know. Dawn can minister the work of the Lord as she go out and do her job, you know. All of you, as you do what jobs you have been assigned to do, you can work the ministry there because you called there for a reason. You're not just called there to get a paycheck every week or month or heaven. I mean, you ain't there just to get a paycheck. You have a ministry there. That's why you're there. And you are to come here and get fully ready, fully equipped to go back to that job and do the ministry there that God wants you to do. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, ask God. Say, God, what's my ministry here? What do you want me to do while I'm here? What do you want me to accomplish while I'm here? And God will show you. Because there you have a ministry. Bexon's a teacher. He has a ministry there with the children. You know, he's there to teach, but not just to teach and get a paycheck, but to minister in whatever capacity God has for him. And Eve is being a wife and a mother. You have a ministry to your husband and your children. You can minister there in your home right now, doing what God called you to do. And matter of fact, if we're not very good at ministering at our home, even husband and wives, if we're not good at ministering at our home, then, you know, we're not going to be good and ready to go out and minister to the world. We got to learn how to minister to those close to us first, and God can trust us to minister to others. So you're supposed to be getting ready. Every Sunday you come, not just to build yourself up and get fat, but you're building yourself up to go back and minister to somebody else. How long will we have these grace gifts? How long will we have these men? How long will there be apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists? How long will y'all have men? Anybody else to come? How long? The Bible says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we there yet? No, we're not. We are not there yet. We have not all in the body of Christ come to unity of the faith. We don't all have the knowledge of the Son of God like we should. And we don't all have the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ like we should. So all the apostles, and some people have said, well, the apostles of God, we don't have apostles anymore. We don't have prophets anymore. We just have evangelists and pastors and teachers. But that's not true. Because the word of God said we're going to have all five until we all come in the unity of the faith. And the body of Christ is not in unity yet. But there's going to come a time before Christ comes back that the body is going to get in unity. And that would be a great time, I tell you. So these grace ministry will function until all obtain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God and finally become one into a perfect man with the full dimension of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. And another thing, we're going to have all these fivefold ministry until we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So God wants us to grow up. As children in the body of Christ, God wants us to grow up. He don't want us to stay babies. He don't want us to stay tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes about. He wants to be sound and mature in the word of God, in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Know God in you. Be firm. And don't let stuff that comes shake you and throw you off track. God don't want this on and off the way we do sometimes. And I was that way before too. We hot today, and next week, we don't know. We don't remember making it or not, Lord. And then we get hot again. And then a few weeks later, oh, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. It's so tough. God don't want us that way. He wants us to be strong and fully encouraged and full in him. And know that when storms come, we can say, okay, storm, you might come. I'm not feeling too good today, but I know Christ is still God. I might not be doing so good today physically or mentally, but one thing I do know, Jesus is still Jesus. I know God is still God. I know God is still with me. I know he will never leave me nor forsake me. One thing I do know, I am born again still. I might not be acting like it right now, but I'm a born again believer. And God is never going to leave me nor forsake me. So this is just a day, and this is just a feeling, and it's going to all pass away. And guess what? When it all passes away, I'm going to still be here because Christ is going to keep me here. Amen. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself that. And whatever you might be struggling with, tell us that you ain't going to take me out until God and me is ready for me to leave here. You ain't taking me out. You might buffet me, but you ain't taking me out. So God don't want us tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, because things are going to come. We live in this life and trials are going to come. Tests is going to come. Tribulation is going to come. Hard times are going to come. It's going to come. It's already come, but it's some more going to come. But we're in Christ, and we don't have to be tossed to and fro. We don't have to be tossed to and fro. We can grow to spiritual maturity and develop in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what should we be doing? The fivefold ministry is here to teach us so that we can bring what's in us to the table. So what should we be doing? We're still in Ephesians. We're still in Ephesians, Ephesians 4:15. We should be speaking the truth in love. We should be speaking the truth in love. When you bring what's in you to the table, when you bring the word of God that's in you to the table, when you bring what's in you to the table, we should speak it in love. When you have to speak out to someone in the world or a family member, when you have to bring the love of Christ or the Christ in you to the table, do it in love. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, yes. Tell them the truth, yes. Always tell the truth. But do that truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Do it in love. If you have to correct your children, you will have to correct them. You will have to tell them the truth. Do it in love. When you speak husband and wife to each other and you have to speak the truth to each other, do it. But do it in love. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Growing up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. As we speak the truth in love, keep growing up into Christ because he's our head, and keep growing up in love. And remember this, from Christ, it's from him, the whole body is from Christ. All of us in the body of Christ are joined and knit together. We're knit together in Christ. You're not without the next person in the body of Christ. And they were not without you. We're not lone rangers. We're not supposed to be off to ourselves, trying to live this life by ourselves. But we need to realize we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all connected together in Christ. And so we should see it that way. And every joint supplies something. Every one of us supplies something in the body of Christ. Every one of us supplies something to each other. I owe you an encouragement. I owe you my love. I owe you to tell you the truth in Christ. I owe you the fact that I should be helping build you up and not tear you down. I should be giving you positive stuff. I should be giving you the word of God and not negative stuff. Because we're one in Christ Jesus. We're one in him. We're one in him. Every part does its share. Everybody should bring their share to the table in the body of Christ. And when we do, it causes the body to edify itself in love and to build itself up. Build itself up. What would the world look like if the body of Christ would stop tearing each other down? If in the body of Christ, one group would stop being mad with the other group just because we don't do things the same way, just because we don't do things alike. What would it look like if the body of Christ actually started loving each other, actually started building each other up, actually started sharing, bringing their share of what God has given them to the body. What would it look like? What would it look like if we all flowed from Christ and not from our own desires and our own thoughts and things? What would it look like? What would it look like? Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body. We are built up and made perfect in love. So how do we continue to grow? How do we allow what's in us to continue to grow? Because something, if you're born again, a grace gift is in you. So how do you allow that grace gift to continue to grow so you can keep giving it out? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're leaving Ephesians. Let's get 2 Corinthians 3:18. Just one verse. But we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, Jesus. I'm inserting Jesus there. We should be beholding Jesus. The glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are to draw close to Jesus with the veil removed from our faces. And as we behold Jesus in the Word of God, as we look at Jesus in the Word, when you read the Word of God, look in the Word of God and see Jesus there. See Jesus. And as you behold him, the Word of God, that we are transformed into the glory of God, into what we see from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Read the Word of God. See Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to transform you into the image of Jesus. That word you're reading, you should be transformed into that word, being that word, experiencing that word. And when you spend time with him in prayer, allow Holy Spirit to transform you as you behold Jesus, as you look to him. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, the author and finisher of our faith. So look to Jesus. Behold him. Behold Jesus. Look to Jesus. See Jesus. When you see Jesus, the Holy Spirit changes you into what you see. That's the mirror effect. He changes you into what you see in Jesus. Amen. And I want you to know this. God has not changed his mind about you. You might have changed your mind about you. You might think it's too late. I could have offered something to God when I was younger. I might could have done this before now, but the way things are now, I don't see how in the world I can do what God called me to do. I don't see how I can finish what God wants me to do. I don't see how in the world I can walk in the grace gift that God has in for me. But I want you to know God has not changed his mind. Romans 11:29 says this, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Romans 11:29, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. God has not changed his mind. Whatever he put in you, whatever grace gift he's given you, whatever call, if you've been called, whatever call he has on your life, God has not and he does not change his mind. To the day we die and leave here, God does not change his mind. When God chooses someone and graciously imparts gift to them, they are never rescinded. God's gifts and calls are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. He never withdraws them once they are given. And he does not change his mind about you to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. God has not changed his mind. Whatever he decided that he wanted you to be, whatever he decided he wanted you to do, that decision is still there. Whatever God once put in your heart, God has not changed his mind. We might walk away from it, but God has not changed his mind. He still is waiting for us to turn to him and accept that call. Accept that grace, accept what he placed in us, accept what he called us to. He's still waiting. He has not changed his mind, and he does not change his mind. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. Matter of fact, he's probably saying, come on, come on. I put something in you. Now, will you please bring it to the table? I've given you grace to do it. So will you please come and bring it to the table? Somebody's waiting to eat what I put in you. Somebody's waiting to get what I put in you. Will you please bring it to the table? I got somebody waiting just to receive. Will you please bring it to the table? Will you please do what I called you to do? Will you please release what I put in you? Somebody wants it. Somebody needs it. The world needs it. So will you please bring it to the table? Amen. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You see, Philippians 2:13, that desire that's in you to do, God put it there. And God put it there so that he could do his good pleasure in you. God will continually revitalize you and plant within you the passion to do what pleases him. God will continue to energize us, revitalize us, give us passion to do what he put in us to do. And he put it in us to please him, to feed others, and to give out to others what they need. When we grow cold, it's because we are not staying near to God. When we grow weary and cold, it's because we're not reaching out to him. We're not staying in him. We're not communicating with him. We're not fellowshipping with him. We're not in the word of God like we should. We're not praying like we should. We're doing other things, and other things are taking our time and our attention, and we need to stay in fellowship with him. All those other things are not going to revitalize us. They're not going to give us energy. But the more we stay close to God, the more we stay in the word of God, the more we stay close to Jesus, the more we read the word, the more we pray, the more we worship, the more energy and passion is going to come, the more it's going to come. And I like the next verse in Philippians 2:14. It's so good. Now that we know what we're supposed to do, Philippians 2:14 says this, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in the polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the light. I'm gonna read that again. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. No second guessing allowed. Okay, God, you say do this. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bicker about it. I'm going to go do it. I'm not going to stand there and say, oh, God, was this you? Was this not you? Is this just me? I really don't want to do this. No, no, none of that allowed. None of that allowed. Just do what God told you to do. Just, God, I got to get this ready. I got to get that ready. You know, my husband ain't where he's, that's what I used to say when my husband was living. You know, my husband, I want him to go, he ain't ready. This ain't right, Lord. That ain't right, Lord. And God, he ain't thinking about none of that. He's saying, okay, what are you supposed to be doing right now? What have I told you to do right now? It might not be go right now, but maybe right now you're supposed to be preparing. You're supposed to be reading the word of God, praying, turning that TV off, some of that entertainment stuff, and see what God wants us to do. You know, see what God wants to do. Sometimes we got our minds so focused on other stuff. We got so much other distraction going. We can't hear God. You know, he's not speaking. We can't hear him for all that noise. You know, so maybe God wants you to start getting prepared. Start getting ready. So stop all that second guessing. Go out into the world as you go to work. As you go, what you're going to do. Go out into this world uncorrupted. That means don't put all that corrupted stuff in you. Be a breath of fresh air in a polluted society. You know, if you go to work and everybody else is negative and nobody else ain't got no good news, You come in there, you ought to have some good news. You ought to be a breath of fresh air. You ought to bring something to the table that's going to cheer somebody up. You ought to bring something to the table that's going to lift somebody up. I mean, if everybody's down, who's going to help somebody up? You know, so be a breath of fresh air. Bring a breath of fresh air to the table. And provide people with a glimpse of the living God. Unsaved folks don't know God. They're looking for a glimpse. And the only place they're going to see it is in us. So bring a glimpse of God to the table. Bring him to the table. Provide them with a glimpse. Carry the light-giving message into the light, offering them the word of eternal life. Offer people the word of eternal life. If we don't give it to them, they won't get it. And we don't bring it, the body of Christ, where are they going to get it from? You could be on a job, there could be 20 people there. And you're the only saved person there. You're the only person carrying the light. Well, if you don't bring the light, how are they going to see the light? How are they going to know Jesus if they don't see Jesus in you? If you don't bring Jesus to the table, if you don't bring the grace that's in you to the table, how are they going to see it? They're not going to see it. If they don't see it in us, they won't see it. If they don't hear the words of eternal life from us, they won't get it. Because we're not being the light. We're not bringing what's in us to the table. So bring what's in you to the table. What Christ has put in you, bring it to the table. Wherever that table is spread out, at work, at home, wherever. Bring what's in you, what Christ has put in you, the grace of God in you, bring it to the table. Bring it to the table. Whether it be a table of believers or a table where there's believers and unbelievers. Or where maybe you're the only believer at the table and the rest of everybody is unbelievers. But bring Christ to the table. Bring him. Bring him. Bring the light of the gospel that's in you to the table. And share it whatever way Holy Spirit will allow you to share it. Psalms 24 says this. Psalms 24 says this, may God grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Remember I told you that it's God that puts his desire in our hearts. So it's okay to allow what God has put in your heart to be fulfilled. May God do that. May he grant what he's put in your heart and fulfill your purpose. In my conclusion, bring everything Christ has put in you, all the grace that's in your character, every gift, every calling to the table. By table, I mean bring it to the body of Christ and to the world. Don't let what he has endowed you with to be in vain. People are hungry and in need of the answer to their dilemma and frustration. What do you have? What's in you? It's time to come to the table and give it away as the Holy Spirit directs you and leads you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for this table of life that we live in. Every day we have an opportunity to bring what's in us to the table. It might be at the grocery store, on our job, in our home, at work, as we travel. There's all opportunities, all tables that are before us to bring the grace in us to other people. God, we pray for boldness today. We come against fear. We come against inferiority. We come against that thinking that we're less than. We come against that thinking that we don't have the ability. No, we don't have the ability, but we got you, Jesus. So in you, we have all the ability we need. So help us to say no to every excuse that will come or that has come that allows us not to bring Christ in us to the table. Hallelujah. So many need to know you, Jesus. So many need just a word. They don't even need a, they don't need a sermon. We don't even have to try to preach a sermon. Some just need a word from you, Lord. Some just need a word from you, Lord. Some just need to know they love, that you love them. Some just need to be pointed in the direction they needed to go. But whatever Holy Spirit puts in us to give, help us, Holy Spirit, to give out what you put in us. To bring it to the table and not be afraid to put it out there. It's not up to us to get people to eat. Eating is their choice. Our job is just to put it, bring it out there and put it on the table. And it's up to them to eat it. It's up to them to receive it. We don't have to worry about that. We just give it because that's our job. And their job is to receive it if they want it. But we're not responsible for them receiving or not receiving. All our responsibility is to give it, to put it out there on the table so that they can receive it if they want to. So God, we thank you for what you put in us, all the grace that you have in us, all the gifts you've given us, every call, every gift, every grace. We thank you because grace comes with the calling. Grace comes with the gift you put in us. Grace is there. We have the grace. And you told Paul, my grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in weakness. So it's okay if you're weak. It's okay if we're weak. It's okay if we don't have the strength that we think we need. It's okay because the grace of God is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It doesn't matter if it come out shaking. It doesn't matter if it don't come out sound. It doesn't matter if it's not great and we're not a great communicator. All that doesn't matter. What matters is we give it out and God's grace is on it. So God, we say thank you this morning. We say thank you this morning. We say thank you for all you're doing in us, all you're doing with us as we walk this out that you called us to. If we share what's been given us and we share it in love so we can build one another up in unity in the body of Christ and we can edify each other in love and build each other up in love and share what we have with each other in love. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. What an awesome picture. What an awesome picture. What an awesome picture of a body of believers that's doing just that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That's the end of the word for today. Are there any